If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Let me tell you what you don't need to be. You never need to be ahead of or behind God. You need to be walking with Him, step by step. So that means when you're in hustle and grind mode, you're moving faster than God. But when you're procrastinating, doubting yourself, you're moving slow with God. So something needs to adjust. Yo, party people, it's Ashley of SingleWomanChronicles.com, where being single is a beautiful choice rather than a miserable circumstance. And how are y'all doing today? Y'all, I feel good. I just came back from my happy place. Anyone who knows me knows my happy place is a beach, but especially if the beach is in Miami. I love me Miami. I love me some Miami. I like other beaches as well. I just love the feel of Miami, okay? Miami and me go together real bad like this, okay? We tight like that. We tight like that. Now, a lot of y'all don't have a good relationship with Miami. And I don't know why, but I always tell people, if this is your first time going to Miami, whatever spirit you put out, whatever thing you say or believe about it, that's what's going to happen. Every time I go to Miami, I tell myself I'm going to have a good time. The only time I had a bad time in Miami is when I was in a toxic relationship and I knew he was going to ruin my trip. Because I knew it. Because he had already ruined another trip. He had me arguing on Bourbon Street. How you got me arguing on Bourbon Street? That's a story for another day. I ain't got time for that. If y'all want to hear about me arguing on Bourbon Street, comment below and I'll talk about that the next episode. Anyway. Hold on, when you write the comment, my memory trash, so you got to be like, hey, tell us about the time you was arguing with your ex on Bourbon Street because he was going to ruin your trip in New Orleans when you had went to that wedding. Okay, cool. Anyway, so yeah, had a great trip. Actually did not go down there for fun. My best friend, her family lives down there. They are like my second family. So for Thanksgiving, I wanted to spend time with both families. I wanted to spend time with my actual family, my mom, on Thanksgiving Day. And then I left to go to Miami on that Friday. And I had a blast. Met a young lady in the airport and we got to having some cocktails and we might have had been feeling a little way on the plane. It was great. And then we went to church on Sunday. We went to dinner on Sunday night. We went to the beach on Saturday. My best friend is from Miami. Anyone who lives in Miami or is from Miami does not go to South Beach. I got my best friend to go to South Beach with me. I'm accomplished. I'm very accomplished. So that was great. This has been a very insightful weekend, a very insightful week. And it kind of leads me into the topic I'm talking about today, which is escaping my comfort zone. And so before we even get into it, I want y'all, today we're going to do an activity. And I think it's a very helpful activity. So what I want y'all to do is prepare to get a piece of paper and a pen. It doesn't have to be anything professional, but we're going to do an activity because I feel like a lot of us are stuck in our comfort zone and we need to break out. And I want y'all to do this activity with me because I haven't done it yet. I waited to do it now just because I got back today. I don't know why I booked my flight at 6 a.m. Don't ask me no questions. I be doing crazy stuff like that. But that mean I had to be up at 3:30 and at the airport at 4:30. So it was crazy. But get ready to do this with me. But before I get into that, I just wanted to talk about, have y'all ever asked or prayed the prayer, God, use me? It's a dangerous prayer. I haven't prayed it in a long time, but God still be using me. It's a dangerous prayer because I think when people pray it, especially if you are a new Christian, you're zealous, you're new to the faith, and you're just like, God, use me. I want to do all these things. And usually we think those things look like being on a stage, preaching for God. They look like the everyday people who are on social media, you know, preaching about God's word or teaching or leading a Bible study or being a pastor. A lot of people think it's like that. But, and there's nothing wrong with that. I just want to preface that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But I want to let you know that usually when God uses you, it is on a day-to-day people-to-people level. You never know how this is going to play out. The first time I knew God used me, because I had prayed that prayer probably like a week prior to this happening, is I was at Kroger. And I was leaving out of Kroger, and I saw an old lady walking with her basket. I don't know where she was going, but she was walking. No, she was walking with a whole bunch of bags, I think. And God said, take her home. And I said, excuse me? In my car, Tangi, you want me to take her home? I'm not this lady. So I was like, ignoring the Holy Spirit, I backed out. Now, rewind. The reason I knew this was God telling me to take her home, because this had happened to me before. One time I did a client's hair. And this is, if you don't know, I do hair. This is when I was in a shop. So I was at the shop, and it was a late. We ended late. We ended at like 8 or 9. And she was waiting on her ride. And she was kind of quiet. She would seem cool. And when I got downstairs, she was like, oh, I'm waiting on my ride. You can go on. Holy Spirit was like, take her home, take her home, take her home. But I never took her home. And as I was driving, like, I had to repent, because I was, this is what it means to grieve the Holy Spirit. It means to quench the Holy Spirit. It means to basically ignore the voice of the Holy Spirit, ignore that discernment, because what happens when you do that is God stops speaking to you. Like, you want God to speak to you, but when you disobey his voice, when you disobey the Spirit, he's not going to keep talking to you because you're not obedient. What, he wasting his voice. God don't like wasting his voice. So I knew when God was telling me to take this lady home. So I'm in the parking lot, and I drive, like, I pack out, I ignore him the first time, I backed out, and then I drove to like the stop sign, and I heard it again, like, take her home. And I was like, ugh. So then I went to the left, and I rolled my window down. I was like, hi, do you need a ride home? She's like, oh my God, yes, thank you. So we're driving, and she was just telling me that she was homeless, but she was in between homes because she was a part of this program where they put homeless people in hotels and just like all of this stuff. And literally, I pulled up to the hotel. She was so grateful. I carried her groceries. She thanked me. I drove off. Never talked to the lady again. That was just God using me. So those are examples. So I was on the beach. And my best friend always laughs at this, because this is the second time this has happened to her. And it sometimes it happens in the most unusual environments. But we have to remember, like, when Jesus was saving people, it was never in the church. He was outside of the church because he was trying to get people saved. He was trying to get non-believers to become believers. So I remember one time being out celebrating my no sex anniversaries, which is what I call my celibacy anniversary. And I was like speaking a word into this guy in the club. We was literally in the middle of a bar. And I was speaking life into him. And my best friend was like, I've never seen anything like that. Like, it's crazy to see. So we're on South Beach. Y'all know, if y'all ever been on South Beach, it'd be some people up out there. So this random guy walks up to me, and he looked like he was drunk. Like, he looked gone, honey. So he's like talking. And I'm just talking to him. He kind of ignored my best friend. And she's like, I don't care. I don't want to talk to him anyway. So he ends up sitting down, and then he's like, yeah, I just got saved. And yeah, you know, I'm a follower of Christ. I'm a believer, blah, blah, blah. So he's talking to me. He's like kind of trying to flirt, but I'm like, young man, I could tell he's young. I'm like, young man, this ain't that. But eventually, I don't know what he's like, can we pray? And I'm like, and my best friend turns around immediately, and I'm like, you want to pray? Because I was asking him, does he want to pray? And she was looking like this behind his back, like, no, you pray. So I pray for him, and like, as I'm praying for him, the Holy Spirit is revealing to me, like, he's dealing with suicidal thoughts. He doesn't think he's worthy of life. He's done some things in the past, but he's trying to overcome those things. So, like, just let him know that I feel that he is worthy of life and worthy of redemption. So I prayed for him, and it was just like, okay, crazy. Because honestly, my flesh, my logic is like, you don't know this man. He could try to rob y'all. Like, he could be dangerous. But my spirit is like, you good. You straight. you good. So I prayed for him, and then we got ready to go, and we left. And he asked me for my Instagram, and that was it. And I gave him my hair Instagram, and that was it. So God used me. So if you want to be used by God, although it's dangerous, I do say it's good, because I think many times we feel like we deal with a spirit of lack. And when you have a spirit of lack, you feel like you have nothing to offer others to, or nothing to offer God to be used, because you're most likely thinking like, oh, I don't have a gift of singing, or I don't have the gift of preaching, or I don't have any money. But God can ask you to give somebody a ride. God can ask you to pray for somebody who is suicidal. You never know. So it's a dangerous prayer, but it's also a great prayer, because it shows you how God can use you as his vessel. So I just wanted to share that, because I was very shocked that that happened to me. But over the week and over even last week, I've been in a very introspective place. And I feel like it's because I'm finishing the year strong, and I'm going into 2025 even better than this year, because this year I have done a lot of movement. And so, as y'all know, that's a whole story for another day. That's another story for another day. I have been in my wilderness since 2019. My wilderness, if you're unfamiliar with the Exodus story, you know, the Israelites were supposed to go from Egypt to the wilderness to their land in milk and honey. It was only supposed to take 2 weeks, but because of their heart posture, their disobedience, their complaining, their grumbling, their hard-heartedness, God, it took 40 years, right? But in the wilderness, God does certain things to build your character, but to also show you how much you can trust in him, right? So my wilderness lasted for years, and I honestly dealt with a lot of what the Israelites dealt with. I was hard-hearted, which means that I became bitter, I became stubborn, I became angry at God. I became like, my belief was very low. I stopped believing, not in God, just believing that he would bring me out, because I had been in it for so long. So my wilderness looked a lot like, you know, not having enough money, having to pray for simple things like rent, water, lights, I'm so brilliant. I'm so smart. I'm such a hustler. Like, why am I dealing with this? But it was God showing me, like, I am the source. You depending on money, which is the resource, I am the source. Pray to me and I will provide. But you're so prideful because you want to be the one to provide for yourself, when you don't understand that I am the one that provides for you. So I was in that space, finally came out of it this year. I told y'all I went back to corporate. I think I did an episode on that. I went back to a 9-to-5 and in February, after being self-employed for 7 years. And then, because at first, like, I was very successful. I told you I was making like $1,500 to $2,000 a week doing hair. And so just going back to corporate, or going back to a 9-to-5, and then moving. I had been in the same apartment complex for 10 years. I had been trying to move for years, like so long. And finally God moved me to a luxury apartment that I asked for. And I have the whole story on that too. And so when you come out of the wilderness, it's very hard to break the wilderness mindset. And a lot of that has to do with fear. Like, you fear that this is too good to be true. Am I going to go back to the wilderness? Oh my God, is God going to stop blessing me because he's done so much already? He's given me a job so quick. He moved me to this apartment. Is he going to keep doing X, Y, Z? I pay my car off this year. Like, oh my God. So I've been in this space where I'm just like kind of stuck in this comfort zone, and I've been fearful of like stretching outside, because I'm like, if I stretch outside, am I doing too much? And the other day, God told me, like, I think I listen to the word a lot, because I be having to stay sane, y'all. I don't know how y'all do it without the word chat. But I listen to a lot of sermons, a lot of different pastors and all of this. And I think in my prayer time, usually in the gym, because I work out early. I work out at like 5:45 in the morning, and I'm always listening to a sermon while I'm working out. And afterward, that's kind of my quiet time with God. Like, it's very unconditional. Like, I'm in the gym, and then afterward, when I'm walking my dog, I read my scripture, and then when I come back, I play my worship music and I'm praying. And
at KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good.
Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax tip and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
In the midst of this, God told me, he said, Ashley, you're not stuck anymore. Like, you're not, like, literally, you're not stuck anymore. I literally moved you from another place, like, to another place to show you you're not stuck anymore. You're so used to being stuck in your wilderness that you are continuing that same mindset. You got to stop. You got to get out your comfort zone. And it was in that moment where I was like, Jesus, I really have been stuck in this comfort zone and I really got to get out of it. So I just started thinking about all kinds of things. And then like even from my career to just how I move on a daily to my love life, it's just I've noticed myself in this comfort zone. Because even after the failed talking stage, I did an episode on that, I just started to think like, Ashley, why do you keep encountering these situations of non-committal men or men who claim they want a commitment but who are not following through? Like, what's going on? Like, what is something you can tweak? And I realized something with that as well. So today what I want to do is we're going to design a diagram of breaking out of our comfort zone. And we're going to explore this, okay? So what I want you to do, I want you to literally draw a box. And you draw it big enough because you want to write within it, okay? So the box can literally look like this. If you're on, if you're listening to this and not watching this, you still can literally just take a piece of paper and in the middle of the paper, just draw a box. So we're going to list all the things that are inside of your comfort zone in this box, okay? So the number one thing inside of my comfort zone is hustle, grind. Y'all, I struggle with resting because I am always in survival mindset. Survival mindset says you rest. When you rest, you should feel guilty because you rest when you die. You need to be out here hustling to make it happen. If you ain't winning yet, why is you resting? That's what it says. But God says to rest in him. Jesus took a lot of naps. I mean, it wasn't a lot, but he took naps. Because it's like when you're grinding and you're hustling, you're basically saying, I got to do all the work. But really, God is like, no, let me do the work. I got the heavy stuff. Now, faith without works is dead. I already know somebody going to be like, oh, faith without works is dead. He says to work, but you need to order your steps. Let me tell you what you don't need to be. You never need to be ahead of or behind God. You need to be walking with him step by step. So that means when you're in hustle and grind mode, you're moving faster than God. But when you're procrastinating down yourself, you're moving slow with God. So something needs to adjust because you need to be walking with God. So one of my biggest things in my comfort zone is hustle and grind. So outside of that, outside of my comfort zone, I'm going to draw an arrow. And where I'm trying to go is rest. Okay, this is it. Hustle, grind, and rest, right? So what's my next thing in my comfort zone? This is going to sound crazy, but social media. Social media. Okay, let me explain this one and break this one down. Social media is my, social media ain't a lot of people's comfort zone, but it's mine. Because I can sit behind here, sit behind a mic, I can sit behind a camera, I can sit behind a ring light, and I can talk to you guys through the screen. And I can draw a lot of people to me. Just draw you to me. I don't have to do a lot of outreach because y'all are coming to me, right? So right now, even though that works, if I'm trying to be a content creator, I'm not trying to be a content creator. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to be a business owner. I'm trying to be a boss, okay? Now, I'm not saying you can't be a boss with that, but in the field I'm trying to go in, it takes more than just social media. So right now, I'm building a digital marketing business. And while building this digital marketing business, I'm focused on building up my LinkedIn page, but God is trying to show me that, look, it's not going to pop like you want it to pop or how you want it to pop. I need you to do, but you're ready right now for your first client. You can still get a client without this page popping. I'm trying to show you how to do it. So what outside of my comfort zone would be sales, outbound. So for me, that looks like outreach. For me, that looks like building a list of potential clients, literally finding their phone numbers and calling them. Do you understand how disgusting that feels to me? Because I want the people to come to me. It's just easier for the customers to come to me. Why they won't come to me? God is like, no, we're getting outside of the comfort zone of social media. So that's what I did. I wrote social media, and then outside of that would be, because this is your comfort box. Inside of what you're trying to do, on the outside is what you're aiming to do, right? Okay. What's next? Okay, this is very, okay, what I'm about to tell y'all, this is between me and y'all, this is between the people who be watching. The other day I recognized this with my dating life, and I had to say, ouch. Okay, I'm about to tell y'all, prioritizing, I can't spell prioritize, y'all, prioritizing, yes. Prioritizing temporary satisfaction over what I really want. Outside of that box would be trusting God, heavily praying for my spouse. Okay. If I'm being honest, I believe the reason this year has looked like this year has looked for my dating life is because I have been prioritizing temporary satisfaction over what I really want. And I'm being honest with myself. This looks like me going into situations, talking phases with people who upfront show me that they only want to rock in a gray area. They're very ambiguous. They're not intentional. They're kind of like, whatever, let's fly by night, like fly by the seat of our pants. But because they have good conversation, because they're attractive, because they seem cool enough, I still entertain it because I enjoy the temporary satisfaction of that, because I'm so tired of waiting for my person that sometimes I'd be like, oh, they could just fill the gap for now. But what happens with that, because I don't do casual. Some people can do casual and be cool. I don't do casual. I don't thrive in casual. I actually drown. I actually want to scream. I actually want to yell from the tops of the mountains. Okay. So because I don't thrive in that, I always end up with my energy wasted and having to get over somebody's dusty, musty sun, even if it's like not even a big deal, but it's still a waste of energy and time because I'm prioritizing the temporary satisfaction over what I really want, which is a relationship. So if I know I really want a relationship, why am I even entertaining someone that I'm going out with? And when I ask them, what are you looking for? What is your timeline? What is this? They're deflecting. They're not being direct. They're changing in the subject. Like, what are we doing? Because I feel like if someone really, really wants you, especially at our big age, baby, I'm 35. Like, we got to get down to the nitty gritty. Ain't no, oh, I'm just letting it flow. Okay. Nice meeting you, Paul. Like, I don't have time for that. So I believe this year I've just entertained so many of these flimsy people. And I'm not talking about my two business day relationship. Like, that was just something that I had to experience because I couldn't have predicted that. Like, nothing in me could have predicted how that was going to play out, what was going to happen, that I would lose a friendship. Like, I didn't know that. Like, I was thinking literally that this is a guy who I've been friends with. We're going to be great. This is going to work. And it didn't. So that's nothing I could have predicted. But I am talking about the situationships that I entertained throughout the year, like the failed talking stage I had, like, dude, like, really never said what he was looking for, or like he said it, but he didn't stand on it. It was kind of like, oh yeah, I'm looking for a relationship that leads to marriage, but there was no talk of it beyond that. There was no deep talk. It was all surface stuff. Like, I feel like when someone's really trying to be with you, they're like, okay, so like, where do you see yourself in the next few years? Like, how quick are you trying to do this? Or like, okay, what does your finances look like? I feel like you're having grown people conversations, but that's not what was happening. Like, we were continuing to get caught up on when I'm gonna see you and all of that. So I feel like my comfort zone has been prioritizing the temporary satisfaction of just entertaining someone over what I really want and establishing that. And like, it's not even something that I realized I was doing until like this year, because I haven't always done it because I go through spurts. Like, listen, if you've been single as long as I've been single and celibate as long as I've been celibate, you're going to go through spurts where, like, your faith is really strong. You're out here. You're doing it. It's like, yo, go, Jesus. Let's go. Let's pray for our love life. Then you're going to go through moments where you're like, I'm over this. I'm sick of this. Somebody need to get, I don't know how long I can do this, Jesus. And so I feel like I was kind of like in that space, especially coming out of my relationship, because I thought that was going to work and it didn't. And it was kind of like, dang, like, what do I want? Where am I right now? So right now it's more like trusting God and heavily praying for my spouse. I prayed for my spouse in the past. I don't know how consistent I have. I don't know if I haven't gone back and like redone my list in a long time. I haven't gone back and like really, I don't think I've ever warred in the spirit for my husband. So that's where I'm at now. So I feel like I'm really taking a step back from dating a worldly way, meaning like I'm taking a step back from feeling like I need to do everything the world is telling me to do. Go out here, position myself to be in front of these men, go on a date. I'm not doing that right now. Like, I'm not doing that right now. I'm focused on God in the spirit because I know he's the only one who can provide this for me. Because the same way he came through with this apartment, the same way he came through with this job earlier this year, so quickly, so swiftly, he can come through with my spouse. But I have to act like it. I have to believe. So I'm getting back to that belief. So these are my top three things in my comfort zone that I'm trying to escape. So what are your top three things? You may have more things than I have. Like, I know years prior, my comfort zone was like a lack of consistency, and that showed up in working out. Now, I've been consistent since April with my workouts. So that's something I've overcome. So coming out of inconsistency was consistency. So like, that's something I built on. So right now, I'm prioritizing rest. I'm prioritizing outbound sales. And then I'm prioritizing trusting God and heavily praying for my spouse. And what another thing I have been believing is like, even with these little stupid squabbles I've been having, Kendrick got the world in a chokehold with squabble up. Anyway, even with these stupid little, you know, situationships I've been dealing with, I know it's a distraction because I know that God is telling me like, focus on your business right now, focus on rest right now. I have 2 weeks off of my full-time job. I'm so excited. I'm so ready. Like, y'all don't even understand. I'm so ready. Like, people keep asking, what you doing for Christmas? Nothing. Don't ask me to do nothing. Don't ask me to go nowhere. Don't ask me to do nothing. I want to sit home and do nothing. 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 So yeah, that's what I'm doing. So that's how I'm going to prioritize rest. So I hope this little activity helped y'all, because I feel like that's the only way to exit your comfort zone, when you first of all know what your comfort zone is and then direct yourself on how to go outside of it with this visual picture. So let me know if this didn't help y'all. If y'all know somebody who's struggling to break out of their comfort zone, then send this to them. Let them know I'm with you. I understand. And we're going into 2025 with a plan. We finishing the year strong. We starting now. We're not waiting till January 1st because we ain't got time for that. All right, y'all. Until next time. Oh, I forgot to say, like, comment, share, you know, if you're going to star me, leave me 5 stars. If you don't mess up my score because you having a bad day. Okay. So unless it's 5 stars, don't even do it. Don't even rate me. But yeah, until next time, y'all. Bye.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.